Friends, I just did my annual economic briefing with author and Swiss America chairman Craig R. Smith, and what I discovered confirms my worst fears. Something is getting ready to happen that's going to change the course of world history, and not one in a thousand will believe it until it's already too late, and I don't want that to be you. After writing four important books accurately predicting the future of gold, oil, the dollar, and inflation, Mr. Smith is on the verge of releasing his next book, and this new CD covers the root issue of the coming crisis and offers three critical steps to protect your family from the fallout. Please call today for this hot new CD, The Future of Money. Toll free, 888-559-9920, 888-559-9920. You've got to hear The Future of Money to believe it. 888-559-9920, 888-559-9920. Do it today.
Raw Nation's Hot Rocks is the only raw, vegan, certified organic vitamin for your sex drive. Hot Rocks is made using only the purest organic superfoods and herbs in their raw, unaltered state. We've created this synergistic blend of powerful herbs that intensifies sexual energy and performance in both men and women. It's like an overall vitality pill that makes you feel amazing. There's absolutely no chemicals, pesticides, or harsh stimulants in Hot Rocks. If you already have a strong sex drive, Hot Rocks will help you maintain it and keep it from slipping away, a problem that affects even the healthiest people nowadays because of the amount of toxicity that we are all exposed to. So what are you waiting for? We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can order Hot Rocks risk-free. It's time to experience pure bliss and the only truly healthy libido enhancer on the market, Hot Rocks. Order online at hotrocks.com, that's HOTRAWKS.com, or call us 855-RAW-LIFE, that's 855-729-5433.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring.
Welcome. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with Attorney Alan Phillips and Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Live every Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio and rebroadcast on Natural News Radio at naturalnewsradio.com Wednesday evenings, and I think throughout the week after that. I believe it's 9 a.m. in the morning now that they're broadcasting us on Natural News. This is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, and with me is my wonderful co-host, Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Mayor, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, good evening, Alan. I am doing absolutely wonderful, you know. And you left out the most important part, Midwest, 8 o'clock Midwest.
You know, 8 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, 6 o'clock Pacific
perfect.
Time.
Perfect. Now we got it all. Now we'll have no idea when to listen, you know. But, you know, Alan, I've I've been just very blessed to have seen so many hundreds and hundreds of families who've been coming to us for many years. I can't remember a time when the issues of questioning vaccines have ever been at such a high level. It's just unbelievable. You know, it seems to me that everyone now is questioning, and it almost feels like we're very close to a tipping point, where the mass will be so great, you know, that it'll just overwhelm this whole paradigm, which really I believe is completely wrong. I mean, it's a completely wrong paradigm, the vaccine paradigm. And I just want to tell people that I don't want anyone to think that Mayor Eisenstein believes that these are good diseases. I don't care which disease you take. Take the flu. It's not a good disease. Even chickenpox, not a good disease. But the issue always becomes, from a medical standpoint, do the benefits outweigh the risks? And that's from a medical standpoint. We're going to talk about that. And Alan, of course, will bring in the legal aspects of what rights you have when it comes to vaccine rights.
Boy, I really feel like we're moving in the direction of reaching a critical mass. And I experience the same thing, that I hear more and more people not only talking to me directly, you know, raising questions and of course, asking about their rights, but I hear more and more people say that they're hearing from more and more people as well, too. Now, I do hear from people who also say they don't know anybody else around them who has any, you know, awareness or interest in the issue. But I think on the whole, I'm hearing more people talking about hearing more people. So there's clearly a lot going on. The number of people who are actually exercising exemptions, I think overall still is relatively small percentage of the population, but they do not represent all of the people who are concerned. We had some polls back during and around the time of the swine flu pandemic a couple years ago that showed that 50% or more of parents were concerned about problems with vaccines. Now, we have exemption rates, you get figures, you know, across a range from different sources. But I think the real figures for people who are actually actively claiming exemptions probably is in the 1-3% range in terms of school children. 1-3%, somewhere in low percentage ranges. I know it was a 2004 study that said between 1-2.5%. Those figures, I think, are rising, and some states are citing figures more like 5-9%. I'm not sure exactly what they're counting or how they're counting it, because I'm suspicious. I don't think they may be counting people who are not fully vaccinated, that which would include partially vaccinated people, and that could account for some of those higher figures. But in any case, it's still a small percentage of the population compared to the percentage of people in polls who have suggested that they have concerns. So I agree with you that in my experience and what limited information I've seen in polls seems to suggest the very same thing that you just described, Mayor.
Well, you know, but very interesting. One of the families that came in today, their children go to a wonderful grammar school called the Christian Liberty Academy. And when someone comes to their school and questions vaccine, they actually hand them a letter to sign with a religious waiver. I love it. I just love
wow,
it.
That is...
How exciting is that? And I'm going to speak to the attorney, and I'm going to have you involved a little bit, because the letter needs to be a little bit better, but forget about that. I mean, how outstanding is that? And it's interesting because some of the issues that the Christian Liberty Academy, which is very staunchly pro-life, you know, have taken great issues with the chickenpox vaccine, the rubella vaccine, vaccines that are grown on the cells of aborted fetuses. You know, I find this exciting because you would think that the Catholic Church would take this up, not a evangelical Christian school, and I think the Catholic Church may start thinking about this. I mean, it's just kind of another. And I use that only as a church which is committed to life, you know, but somehow has not taken up the issue that two of the vaccines are actually grown on the cells of aborted fetuses.
Well, this is an issue that I hear over and over again from both Catholic and non-Catholic clients of mine, and I think it has been brought to the attention of at least local church officials repeatedly in different places. So I think it's inevitable that the church is going to feel like they need to take a more direct look at this and hopefully take a stand. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. Well, Mayor, we have had a caller in queue here since the very beginning of the show. I thought maybe we'd go ahead and invite that caller on.
Sounds good to me.
And I should see we had another caller. So let's take the first caller, area code 508. You are with us on the air now.
Oh, hi. first of all, I want to thank you for being on the show and for giving us the opportunity to call in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And my question is, I've been very frustrated with what I've been dealing with between doctors and specialists and whatnot, you know, with my son. He went through all the regular routine vaccinations years ago. He is now 13, and he'll be entering seventh grade, you know, this year, next month. And he was diagnosed with absent seizures a little over 2 years ago. And he, I found that if he's on a certain diet, he doesn't suffer from them. But sometimes he goes off his diet, and he will, you know, he can have them quite often if he so-called cheats on his diet. Anyhow, I spoke to the neurologist, two different neurologists, and both claim that they, you know, they said, nope, there's nothing wrong with him having the seventh grade vaccinations, that he's supposed to get the TDAP, I believe it is, and the meningitis,
right.
And no connection, no, there's, you know, it will not make it worse and whatnot.
Let me tell you something. I find it so incredible. You know, do they have any idea what caused your son's condition? Do you have any idea?
Well, it's no, but I myself was diagnosed with celiac disease about 7 years ago, and when I had everything under the sun wrong with me, when I went on the diet, every single symptom went away.
Went away. No, but I say that, you know, we have so many illnesses which we really don't know their root causes, but they're sure it's not vaccines. I find that just, you know, I mean, you hear this so much.
Oh,
with,
right.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
That's the one thing they're sure about. I mean, you can ask them 30, oh, no, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about this. This I'm sure about, you know, unbelievable, you know, I mean. I could tell, you know. My feeling on vaccines is this is a failed experiment that's been going on for 200 years. There's no evidence that any vaccine has ever eradicated any illness. The problem is, I said a little bit earlier, that these are bad diseases. You know, meningococcal meningitis is a bad disease. You know, whooping cough is a bad disease. But the question really comes, does the risk of the vaccine outweigh the benefit? And you know, I can't see it, because the reason I can't see it is because all the data that we've seen shows that the majority of children who come down with whooping cough, there's been more than 20,000 cases in the country this year, they're virtually every one of them vaccinated. And, you know, and I find it interesting. Why did they switch vaccines from the original DPT vaccine, that was the cellular version, to the acellular version? Because I remember going back 25 years ago, they said that the cellular version, the DPT, had no side effects, no serious side effects. And then they bring in the DTaP, that's the acellular version, and they said, oh, the old ones had side effects, therefore we need a new one. And now I was taught you never give a whooping cough vaccine to a child over 6 years of age. Now they want to give it to teenagers. It makes absolutely no sense.
Well, you know, it's funny. I looked at this neurologist in the eyes, and I said, okay, I'll make you a deal. If you can tell me, as his mother, that if he has this vaccination, that 100% his seizures will not get worse, or he will not suffer in any way from this, then I'll do it, you know. And he looked at me and laughed and said, well, of course I can't tell you that, you know, of course I can't guarantee that. I said, well, if you can't guarantee that my son will not suffer any ill effects or get or have worsening effects from what he has already, then shouldn't I have the opportunity to decide whether or not, after weighing up both sides of the fence, whether or not he should have this or not? You know, I said, because if, God forbid, something happens to him, he gets worse, then are you going to be taking care of him? Or are you going to be living his life? No. I said, we'll be dealing with that, and he'll be dealing with that.
Oh, fabulous. Let me tell you something. And in fact, I would go one step further. I love what you're saying. Alan, do you agree with me? I mean,
absolutely. But it raises a real interesting question, again, from my perspective as an attorney and of course, Mayor, you're a member of the Illinois Bar as well, too. You have that lawyer and a doctor hat there to look at things with. But there, the question there, shouldn't we have the right to choose, of course, when described the way the caller describes it, it seems very obvious that, of course, we should. But the next question is, do we? And the answer to that question varies from situation to situation, from state to state. Many states now are requiring immunizations for entrance into middle school and high school. I encountered that myself just this week with my own son, who is entering a new school this year, and we got the lecture about how we have to get the DTaP. And I just, fortunately, I had someone who responded cooperatively and in a non-adversarial way when I said we have a religious objection. But I got the very mini lecture of how there are outbreaks all over the country, and fortunately I had the good sense, I think in this instance anyway, not to start talking about things like, yes, but they were all vaccinated, or those kinds of things. Sometimes it's better to take the short way out and wait for a more receptive audience, if you will, to get into the debates or the discussion or the issues about it. But the question then becomes, okay, yes, you should have the right. Do you have the right, or to what extent do you have the right, and how do you exercise the right? And this is, to me, the fundamental issue about vaccines. You'll find people all across the spectrum in terms of whether they think vaccines are a problem or a little bit of a problem or no problem or a lot of problem, or I want to do no vaccines or I want to do all vaccines or some vaccines. I think we should all have the right to make an informed choice, and as long as there is transparency and the information is readily available, that we should respect all choices. And I think we would see a range of choices if complete information and freedom of choice were all put on the table. But I also feel convinced that very few people, if they truly looked at all the available information, would come away saying, yeah, but I'm just going to go ahead and do all of the recommended or all the required vaccines. I think most people would come away with some variation on the current requirements and recommendations.
Do you need any help with to be able to write a waiver for the religious a waiver for vaccines? Do you need any help with that?
Well, I will tell you. I've been to a couple of naturopaths and you know, one over the summer, and I have an appointment with one in October. But both of them have told me, one on the phone and the other one in person, both said no, they definitely wouldn't have him take the injection.
Oh, no, that's no question in my mind that you shouldn't do that. The question is what Alan said, now we get to the legal aspect.
I know. What
state do you live in?
I'm in Massachusetts, but he goes to school in Rhode Island at a private school. So it's a Catholic school. But I haven't, mentioned anything to them yet, but I'm very, very leery of him having any other vaccinations at this point with his condition, and because no one can guarantee me he is not going to get worse, and I definitely need some kind of direction to go in.
We're here to help. I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions. Do you have a piece of paper?
Oh yeah.
I want you to write down a couple of websites. Alan's website. Alan, go ahead and tell him your website, because he's got a fabulous book that's a must read. It's an e-book. Go ahead, Alan. Tell what's your name? Who are we speaking to?
My name is Diane.
Diane. You know, Diane, go ahead, Alan. Tell Diane your website.
Yeah, I think the vaccinerights.com is a real good starting point. There is an exemptions page that has links to three different other websites that post the school exemption laws. And the starting place is always, and it's the state where your child goes to school. So for you, looking at Rhode Island's religious or other exemption statutes, and I'm pretty sure Rhode Island has only the medical and religious, and you look to the statute, and in some cases you need to also look at health department regulations to see what the right is and what the procedure is, because it's going to vary from state to state. But if you're in a state or a situation such as military exemptions, immigration, and other contexts where you have to write your beliefs, and you don't have to do that in every state or every situation, but if you're in one of the ones where you do, that's the place where you want to make sure you take steps to get information about what does and doesn't qualify under the law, because this is an area that doesn't always follow a common sense line of thinking. And so if the authorities involved have the authority to scrutinize your beliefs, you want to make sure you have something that meets the legal standard. And in this arena, whether you're talking about a state exemption or even a federal law exemption such as military or what have you, we're really talking about federal First Amendment in terms of where the boundaries are. It's the First Amendment that tells us what does and doesn't qualify, and the court cases that have looked at the boundaries of the First Amendment.
Well, let me tell you, Diane, I'm going to make it a little bit less legalese. Alan has a tendency to be very outstanding.
Be very technical about it.
Don't get nervous.
Diane, do not get nervous.
No. He is awesome. This is a dear, dear friend, you know. But let me give you one more. Buy his ebook. It's a fabulous, and it's look at his website, start there. I'm going to give you one more thing to do. August 23rd, Alan and I will be doing a webinar, and you'll be able to see some graphic visuals, and to register, just go to homefirst.com, HOMEFIRST.com, click on the webinar, click on and register. All you have to do is put your email address in, and Alan and I will be talking August 23rd, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, about don't vaccinate before you educate. We'll be also talking much of what we talk about here on the radio show about vaccine exemptions. Diane, thank you very much for your outstanding input. Our phone number here, Al and I are live, and our phone number is 646-478-0772. Alan, how about we go right back to the phones?
We do. We've actually got three more callers now. We're getting some calls tonight, Mayor, so let's move on through. Diane, thank you so much. We'll go
thank
to
you, Diane.
Next caller in the queue here, area code 415. You're on the air with Know Your Rights Hour.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks a lot. You guys are really great. I've been listening to you for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, thank you. Tell us your name.
Thanks.
Tell us your name and what state.
My name is Tony. I'm Tony from California.
Tony from California.
And I've got. Yeah, thanks. I got a couple of kids, third and fifth grade, and currently I exercise the exemption. I was just looking to notice that California doesn't have a religious exemption, and my question was going to be, should I be pursuing that now, knowing what the state is doing with AB 2109 and such?
Oh, yeah, I've got a. I'll jump in on this one if I can, Mayor.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I learned so much from Alan about the religious exemption, and he's going to give you and the personal waiver, which exists. But go ahead, Alan, please.
I had an opportunity to dive into this with in the terms of legal analysis with an attorney and client in California working together with them recently. Some people have said, well, California doesn't have a religious exemption, and the exemption that it has refers to personal beliefs and doesn't say anything about religion. And the question is, does that reference to beliefs include religious beliefs? Or is it that you can't get the exemption if you have religious beliefs? Well, I believe the state health department acknowledges that that includes religious beliefs, but there's actually a legal analysis. I'll try to be really brief, and Mayor, you reel me in if I get too technical, but every state has what they call statutory construction laws or rules, and these are the rules that tell us how to interpret the state statutes. And I'm going to take a circuitous route to get back to a very almost silly sort of common sense place, which is that the law means what it says. But there are necessarily going to be situations, inevitably, where we're not sure whether or not or how a statute applies to a situation, and often we look to legal precedent to answer that question, actual court cases. But another part, a way to look at that is, well, what does the statute really mean? And a general principle that I've seen in California and other states around the country is that is two parts, and this is the first two of many other different statutory rules, but you interpret statutes to give the meaning, to give the intent of the state legislature. And the second part is that if the statute is unambiguous, if it's clear, then it means exactly what it says. Well, California was sort of curious because they actually had a section in the statutes that stated explicitly what the legislative intent was for the enactment of this statute. And maybe they do that. I don't know if they do that routinely with all statutes or not. But anyway, the statute, taking its plain language meaning, and I don't have that in front of me at the moment, but it was some reference to beliefs and personal beliefs in a way that it would really be hard not to interpret it to include personal beliefs of any kind, religious or otherwise. So what's the point of all of this? Well, the point is that religious beliefs come with federal First Amendment rights, and federal, that's from our U.S. Constitution. Even if it's a state exemption law, if there's a right to a religious exemption or religious objections qualify for the waiver, and I would say that in California that's probably the case, if you are objecting on religious grounds, you have this additional federal First Amendment right. Now, there are situations where that can matter, because federal law is a higher legal authority than state law. And so you have just that little extra, or in some cases big extra, federal law right if you have religious objections and if you're in a state whose laws allow for objection on religious grounds. Now, the law in California, as you probably know, I think there's just a form. You check a box on the back or something simple like that. That's going to change if AB 2109 gets passed. But to me, AB 2109, which is going to make doctors, medical doctors, the gatekeepers of the exemptions, the non-medical exemptions, as well as, of course, the medical exemptions, to me, that's unconstitutional. And so I've been making the argument now for a few months that AB 2109 is unconstitutional, at least as to those who would be whose objections would include personal religious beliefs. But what I've learned out of this and dealing with legislation, vaccine legislation in other states, that state legislatures can pass any law they want to, whether it's constitutional or not. And the reason is that technically or formally, a law is presumed to be constitutional when the legislature passes it, unless and until a court says otherwise. What happens in this arena, and probably other ones as well, is that the legislatures can use that as an excuse, if you will, to pass any law they want to. Washington State passed a similar law last year, and I wrote up a legal assessment, explained how it was unconstitutional, cited the legal precedent supporting my views. We got it to an activist. They took it to the governor's office, and the governor's office says, oh, well, that's not up to us. That's up to the courts. Technically, that's true, but I found it to be a very disingenuous way of brushing aside that we can sign any law, in any bill into law that we want to. And so I don't know. I think they either had the vote or are about to have the vote in California. Do you happen to have any information on that?
I don't know, no.
Yeah, so they're, I think we're at the point here where that's either going to, you know, sink or that law bill is either going to sink or swim shortly here. And I am really nervous about the idea of having medical doctors be gatekeepers for non-medical exemptions. It doesn't make sense on the common sense level or the legal level.
No, you explained that magnificently, Alan. You know, and I think it's one of the reasons we'll be talking about this every week, you know, about why your strongest rights on vaccine waivers and vaccine objection will come from a religious right, from a First Amendment protection. You know, I think that's So even like I say in California, which right now you can write a personal, or you want to frame it as a religious exemption. And we'll be talking about that. Thank you so much. Awesome question. And thank you so much for listening. Our phone number once
again.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, 646-470-0772. Alan, I'm not sure we can slip one in before the break, because we're going to break in a few seconds, I think.
We are. We actually have just a few seconds here. So you're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour. If you're listening to us live on Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening to us recorded, perhaps on naturalnews.com. But we've got three more callers on the line, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Friends, I just did my annual economic briefing with author and Swiss America chairman Craig R. Smith, and what I discovered confirms my worst fears. Something is getting ready to happen that's going to change the course of world history, and not one in a thousand will believe it until it's already too late, and I don't want that to be you. After writing four important books accurately predicting the future of gold, oil, the dollar, and inflation, Mr. Smith is on the verge of releasing his next book, and this new CD covers the root issue of the coming crisis and offers three critical steps to protect your family from the fallout. Please call today for this hot new CD, The Future of Money. Toll free, 888-559-9920, 888-559-9920. You've got to hear The Future of Money to believe it. 888-559-9920, 888-559-9920. Do it today.
Raw Nation's Hot Rocks is the only raw, vegan, certified organic vitamin for your sex drive. Hot Rocks is made using only the purest organic superfoods and herbs in their raw, unaltered state. We've created this synergistic blend of powerful herbs that intensify sexual energy and performance in both men and women. It's like an overall vitality pill that makes you feel amazing. There's absolutely no chemicals, pesticides, or harsh stimulants in Hot Rocks. If you already have a strong sex drive, Hot Rocks will help you maintain it and keep it from slipping away. A problem that affects even the healthiest people nowadays because of the amount of toxicity that we are all exposed to. So what are you waiting for? We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can order Hot Rocks risk-free. It's time to experience pure bliss and the only truly healthy libido enhancer on the market, Hot Rocks. Order online at hotrocks.com. That's HOTRAWKS.com or call us. 855-RAW-LIFE. That's 855-729-5433.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
We are back. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with Acting Rights Attorney Alan Phillips and Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Mayor, we've got a couple other callers here. How about we go right on to them?
Before we go, I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping. The question is, we're not going to be able to cover everything in 1 week. In fact, Alan and I can most probably talk for years before we cover, two websites. Everyone write it down who wants more information. VaccineRights.com. That's Alan's website. It's fabulous. He's got a tremendous amount of information, and also he has a fabulous ebook. It's a must-read. It's an absolute must-read if you're looking to write a legal waiver. And secondly, my website, HomeFirst.com. Vaccines are a large part of what I'm interested in. And we're having upcoming webinars. And you can just click on the webinar button on my website and just register. All you have to do is put in your first name and your email address. And this Thursday night, August 16th, I will be having a webinar on vitamin D, and more vitamin D. And it truly fits in with the whole vaccine issue because as we're coming up to the flu season, I've written quite a few articles about more vitamin D and less vaccines, or are vitamin D not the flu vaccine? And then August 23rd, all three of these are going to be on Thursday nights. August 23rd, same thing, 7 p.m. Central Time. Alan and I will be having a webinar on Don't Vaccinate Before You Educate, how to write a legal waiver. And Alan's got some great slides also, so he'll be able to actually see some visuals. And August 30th, if you haven't been already bored by all the webinars we've had up until then, same time, 7 p.m. Thursday night, I'll be talking about how my wife Karen and I lost more than 200 pounds 3 years ago and have maintained it for more than 2 years now. Anyway, now that I've got all that, let's go back to the phones, Alan.
Well, thank you so much, Mayor, for all of that. It's tremendous. Tremendous accomplishment, the weight loss, and such a critical issue in the society. So I really do encourage folks to check that out. And I have seen and participated in as a listener to your webinars in the past. Very informative, really a must-see. I'm going to bring on the line now a caller from area code 615. Tell us your first name and what your concern or issue is for us this evening.
Yes, my name is Bill. And you covered a lot of what I was about to call about with AB 2109. We have just relocated to California from Tennessee, and Tennessee only has medical and religious exemption rights. But my question to you really came from what you were saying you ran into with your own son, where they you said he changed schools and they said they needed to get that he had to have the DTaP.
Right.
And I found it very interesting, and I think it was sage advice of yours to say that you didn't really engage the doctor to say that, you know, most of those cases of pertussis were of vaccinated people. If AB 2109 does pass the assembly and does get made into law, would you suggest that as I approach a doctor for his permission to be exempt and for his education on why I'm an idiot, should I take that tack? I approach him with the binders full of information I have that support the reasoning behind my position.
Well, I would I'll speak as a doctor now. I wouldn't even go there. Let me ask you, in California, AB 2109, I'm not totally familiar with the bill, Alan. Does it require a medical doctor? Can it be a chiropractor who signs the waiver, or does it have to be an MD or a DO?
Caller, yeah. Bill.
No, I'm sorry. Please, you answer that question. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I believe the one that did become law in Washington State will allow naturopaths and medical doctors. I'm not sure in California, so that's why I was going to say, is it Bill?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Bill. I was going to say, Bill, if you're familiar, let me know. I believe it may be only a medical doctor, but I'm actually not sure off the top of my head.
It's a very good question. You know, and let's assume it is. Do not engage a doctor unless you know what his position is. You'll be putting a big target on yourself, you know, you want to stay as low-key as possible. It's not the place to make the fight. I mean, you don't walk into the enemy camp, and unfortunately, the American Academy of Pediatrics, or like I like to call them, the American Academy of Pharmaceuticals, you know, their interest, as we heard from our first caller, here you had a child with a seizure disorder and no problem to give vaccines, not even concerned, not even remotely worried about it. Yet the same doctor was not willing to tell the mother that this vaccine will not cause a problem. Well, that, you know, she phrased it beautifully, Ellen. I thought she was fabulous when she said, "Can you guarantee me that when you give this vaccine, my child would have no problems?" And all of a sudden, the doctor changed his tune, you know. And I like some of the stuff that I've seen on some of the vaccine rights websites, and where they said, have your doctor sign a form saying that that this vaccine will cause no side effects and no problems. You understand that the toxins in this vaccine cause no problems. See, the doctor's willing to sign that. You know, but of course, that's being adversarial. What's our goal? Not to inject toxins into our children. That's the ultimate goal. And whatever it takes to do that, that's what we have to do until we eventually win the war completely and they stop all the silly nonsense vaccine stuff.
Well, I want to chime in just real quick on the form thing, because this is something I see circulating around the alternative vaccine community, particularly on the internet, from time to time, and it came back around again in recent weeks or months. I wrote an article about this you can find on naturalnews.com. These forms are what I call a feel-good, like the idea of, oh, yeah, okay, sign this form saying guaranteeing me that nothing's going to happen to my kid. You know, if you won't do that, then I don't have to get the vaccines is sort of the idea. But I think it's a potentially dangerous thing to actually do.
Wait a minute. I was just being facetious in the sense you write the letter up, you get your kicks out of it, and you put it in your file and you never show it to anyone.
That's fine. But some people
you're doing it.
When they pass this around, they take it to heart. And I want to explain why I think it's a risky thing to do. That doctors, as I'm sure Mayor can confirm, and many other professionals, are required to report any suspected case of abuse or neglect that they encounter. They legally have to report those to Child Protective Services. And if somebody is – there's really only three places you can be legally with vaccines. You're either doing the vaccines that are required or getting your children the vaccines that are required. You're exercising an exemption, or you're doing neither of those first two. And it's the people in that third category who are not in compliance with the law, and then they are potentially subject to penalties for medically neglecting their children. And so if somebody takes one of these forms to a doctor – instead of exercising an exemption, the doctor might actually be required to report them. And even if they aren't required, or even if they're not thinking in those terms, many times the doctors that are so adamant about the pro-vaccine position, they get as angry at us for being so crazy as to not vaccinate as we feel they are crazy for not seeing that there are reasons, good reasons, why people might not want to vaccinate. And they will sometimes exercise their authority by reporting people to CPS anyway. I had somebody call me at the time I was living in Central North Carolina. I've actually just moved to Western North Carolina. And they said they had a doctor when they were in the hospital and the child was born, they had a newborn child, the doctor said, get the hepatitis B vaccine or we will take your child away from you. We'll have, you know, the social services come take your child away. In North Carolina, there's actually a law for the hepatitis B vaccine that you have 3 months to get that first shot without exercising any exemption. And yet here's the doctor saying, we're going to take that child away from you if you don't get this vaccine. So they can be very not understanding and very aggressive at times. And so the general rule for me, and just to sort of add and corroborate what Mayor was saying, is that you don't pick a fight with the doctors. There are other places where people are going to be able to hear you, and you'll be able to make more of a difference by sharing the information. Having said that, I have heard some people say that they've taken information into their doctor, the doctor has come away learning more than they knew before. So maybe there are going to be individual cases, but the general rule for me is that you don't pick your fight with doctors, because even if you find the rare one who's open to hearing what you have to say and can consider an alternative position, professionally he's more or less prohibited from agreeing with you anyway. There's such pressure. And Mayor, I'd love to hear you elaborate on that point. What kind of pressure is there on doctors in the medical community to get in line with the system?
Well, you have to understand the background of a doctor. Number one in their grammar school, number one in their high school, number one in their college. You know, it's most probably the most difficult postgraduate program to get into. And they've always been rewarded for their for their excellence in academics. And now all of a sudden you come to this doctor and you start confronting them about something. And how do we get that? By parroting back what was taught to us in grammar school, high school, and college, and not questioning. Once you start questioning, you've got real problems going to medical school. And so you finish medical school and you come into the real world and a patient confronts you. And it becomes very, unless you all of a sudden have realized, oh my God, everything I was taught isn't exactly scientific, you get very defensive. And so you just don't want to get into that position. And I go to the other place that we should mention is emergency rooms, because that may even be a bigger problem than school, because here you now are in a medical setting that you don't want to be in. God forbid your child has an injury. And the first question I ask you, are you completely up to date on your vaccines? You have no obligation to give that answer, but you don't want to be confrontational. So you want to say something like, my doctor takes care of everything. You know, I can give you my doctor's phone number. That's why it's ideal to start looking for doctors around the country who support the idea of vaccine rights. And these doctors are growing in number. I think all the questions you're asking are good. And what we're trying to do in the show is raise questions, so when you get into a tough situation, you're not going to just become adversarial.
I just want to add one really quick piece to this, because I've had people come to me who say they were in the emergency room, they're asked this question, they have an exemption, and so they feel like they're put on the spot because, of course, they're not up to date on their immunizations. They have an exemption. Well, I just want to give people permission, and not that I'm the one to really give them that, but I'll phrase it like that. Give everybody permission who's exercising an exemption to say that you're up to date with your vaccines if you're exercising an exemption, because really you are. What the exemption does is it's a substitute for getting the shots. Either way, you're in compliance with the law if you're either doing the vaccines or you're exercising a valid legal exemption. So you are up to date with your exemptions, and I don't think you have to feel wrong or bad by saying yes when they ask that question if what is underneath the yes is you have an exemption. You're not obligated to tell someone in the emergency room that you're exercising a religious exemption or a philosophical exemption and open up that can of worms where they're going to, try to talk you out of it or act differently with you or to you because of that. So just say, yep, we're up to date and get on with it is my recommendation.
Awesome. I let me tell you something. Spoken so well, you know. Thank you very much, for your wonderful questions and wonderful input. Thank you for listening. Our phone number once again, 646-478-0772, 646-478-0772. Alan, how about we go back to the phones?
We have one more caller on the line here at the moment here. So I will bring on someone who's been waiting patiently for a long time now. Area code 612, tell us your first name and what is your question or concern for us this evening?
Well, my first name is Roger, and I'm 68 years old, and I'm a firm believer, fully anti-vaccination. My issue is I have my first granddaughter, and I've been trying to educate my daughter on this whole vaccine scene, and my daughter has read a lot of books, and she's getting conflicting information, so she's basically taken the middle-of-the-road approach. She's not giving my granddaughter any measles or rubella shot, but my daughter feels very strongly that my granddaughter should have the whooping cough pertussis vaccination and also the polio vaccination, because they plan to do some European travel. And she's afraid if she goes to some of these European countries or whatever, that the baby will be exposed to that, and she feels it's very deadly and whatever. And of course, I feel, having read and researched it, that a lot of these countries where the incidences are high are because they have, in fact, vaccinated. So I guess I wanted to cut to the chase. I don't see any real value of any vaccination at all. Now, am I a wacko or not?
Oh, let me tell you something. You're a wacko like myself. I mean, we're the same age. I'm just a little bit younger than you, just a few months younger than you. And See, it's a paradigm that doesn't work. And I'll give you the analogy, I think, with the vaccine paradigm. It's like antibiotics. At best case scenario, antibiotics had a temporary effect on the whole the ability to treat bacterial infection. And we thought 60 years ago this was the answer. And we had penicillin. We were thrilled. And then all of a sudden, bacteria start getting resistant to penicillin. Then they came out with erythromycin. And they come out with Zithromax. And, you know, and I'm just Cipro. And I think it's the same thing with vaccines. Let's take whooping cough. First, it was DPT. And that was the answer to all of whooping cough. Well, oops, there was problems there. So then they came out with the DTaP. And oops, there was problems. We got 20,000 cases this year. So they give another one. It's a. I wish I owned a vaccine company. I really wish I did. I would tell people, you've got to be out of your mind to take this, but I'm going to keep telling you, if it doesn't work, take two. If it doesn't work, take three. I mean, how fabulous, you know. My goal is to destroy people's confidence in the medical system. That's my goal, because it is the most unscientific aspect of that I've ever seen, you know, and it makes absolutely no sense. I've never heard of something when one doesn't work, you give two. You know, if you take a look, my late mentor, Dr. Mendelsohn, used to say, when you take a look at pharmaceuticals and the effects seem to be the same as the side effects, and so you're not sure if someone is not getting cured by it, do you double the dose or give half the dose? And I think, unfortunately, he was being facetious about doubling the dose. This is 40 years ago, and so now that's what they're doing. They're doubling down on the dose of I don't think this will ever be an answer to resolve our problems. And interesting enough, just one last thought. What happened to tuberculosis? What happened to cholera, plague, Rocky Mountain spotted fever? And why do I bring these up? Serious infectious diseases that died out in this country without any vaccines. Thank you very much. And I hope that your daughter kind of have her go to our websites and read a little bit more. You know what I mean? And hopefully that will be helpful. Thank you so much for your call.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boy, It's fascinating, Mayor, because we are taught or led to believe that the vaccines eliminated the infectious diseases, and from a pro-vaccine perspective, this all seems so clear and straightforward that there's not even any point in entertaining. You'd be insulting yourself to even bother to entertain the alternative view. I mean, the vaccines got rid of the diseases. They're gone for the most part. What's the problem? You know, what's wrong with this picture? You know, why would anybody even question them? Yet when you go back and look at the actual graphs and statistics, you see that something on the order of 90 to 95% of infectious disease decline. Now, it's different for each vaccine and disease, but the vast majority of the decline preceded the vaccines, and it seems like the vaccines have just sort of come in at the last minute and claimed credit for this enormous decline that preceded them. Now, you know, we could debate why or how the diseases declined so much before the vaccines, and I'm sure there are different ideas and theories about that, but they did decline, the bottom line, whatever you want to attribute it to. Surely there was sanitation, food preservation, or other kinds of things that factored into it. Maybe diseases have natural declines and natural cycles. And maybe you're familiar with other ideas you could share with us, Mayor, but it's just the idea that it's given the credit given to vaccines, from what I've seen in my own research, it seems to be so misplaced.
Exactly, and I could tell you what one of my theories, and it's not my theory, it's many, many other doctors, is that the vaccines have actually perpetuated the illnesses by killing some of the milder strains and allowing the stronger strains to exist and proliferate. I absolutely believe that's what's happening with whooping cough, that left alone, whooping cough wouldn't exist anymore, but the over-vaccinating of the population, you know, for whooping cough has created this problem. And I think we were starting to see the same problem with mumps. We're starting to see the same thing with measles. You know, it's like we're actually creating the problem. If we think of it like antibiotics, everyone seems to be in agreement now that we have to really limit the use of antibiotics. And even the American Academy of Pediatrics has made the statement a couple of years ago, antibiotics should not be used unless we have life-threatening situation. And they even talked about pneumonia. If pneumonia isn't life-threatening, antibiotics shouldn't be used. And I think we're going to quickly come to a time where doctors have to realize that even if they use vaccines, so let's say hypothetically they use them, they may have to be limited into who they're giving them to.
Well, I don't know that vaccines have no place at all. It was an interesting research I read a few years ago that was some process, but they referred to it as a vaccine that they were using, creating specifically for individuals with regard to cancer treatment that they had had some success with, reportedly. But it was something that was customized to the individual. It wasn't something that you make and distribute to a broad portion of the population. So it was an interesting idea, and I couldn't go any farther with an explanation of it, but they did refer to it as a vaccine, and I thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe it had to do with a germ theory for cancer or some kinds of cancer. So who knows? Maybe there are places, I guess is my point, where the concept has some validity and some application, but the way it's applied broadly seems to be based so much more on the potential profits than anything else, and it's an enormously profitable industry. The projected profits internationally for 2012, according to a one recent article, was $38.8 billion, dollars, the total vaccine sales for this year. So it's just a huge market, and every man, woman, and child on the planet is a potential recipient of more and more vaccines from the moment of birth until, as I find myself facetiously or sarcastically saying, till the last one takes us out. But in any case, it is, again, just an enormous profit potential, and we can see why there would be a tendency to put on blinders to anything that would get in the way of that.
Yeah, exactly, and I think this all fits in that if they tailor made something, the idea of giving something to everyone doesn't make sense. From a public health standpoint, it makes absolutely no sense. It assumes that everything's the same. There's no diversity, I think that what you said is right, but of course the profit comes. I'll give you an example that's recent. For years, we were taught that if you had any type of oral surgery, that you should be taking prophylactic antibiotics. They now realize that's a mistake. It's wrong. And this is something that they held for years they were doing, And I think it's the same thing, we don't have enough respect that our body is an ecological system with friendly bacteria and friendly viruses, and by disrupting it with toxins like vaccines, we may be creating a problem where the disease will start way outweighing any of the therapies.
Well, it's kind of frightening because I've certainly seen articles and heard the stories about how we now have strains of diseases that antibiotics seem to be having little or no effect on, and that raises a very scary sort of possibility here for any individuals contracting those diseases, but for all of us who are people who could potentially contract these diseases in the future. And to hear you say that there's a similar concept that may apply to vaccines is even more scary, because I think there's a much greater push for vaccines and for everyone, and because it's prophylactic. We're trying to prevent something that is only a hypothetical future risk. And there just seems to be no end to the number of vaccines in development and that are potential new ones to add to the list, as well as, and the only end to the potential list of vaccine recipients is the number of people or categories of people alive on the planet today. So it's a really difficult situation. We have a couple other callers on the line, but we've only got another minute or two here of the show. I think probably we don't have time to take another caller.
Why don't we try to grab one from my state of Illinois? Why don't we go to 815? Good evening. We got about a minute left.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
And who are we talking to?
My name is Leslie.
Hi, Leslie. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I have chosen, after doing a lot of research, I've chosen not to vaccinate my daughter anymore, and I just went through her kindergarten physical and chose to not vaccinate, although the doctor was very aggressive and actually made my daughter cry in the office. He told me that he feels sorry for me and that I'm going to be sorry when my daughter's sick because children died in droves before these vaccines, and my daughter was crying in the office saying, I don't want to die, Mommy, and he continued to go on and on.
Wait, I got an answer. Find another doctor.
I am, and actually, I'm going to be going to the Eisenstein Clinics in Naperville next.
Oh, yes. I'm honored. I can't wait to meet you.
We're down to the last few seconds here, and I hate to cut
you
off.
So
please
much.
Call back, because I'd love to talk more about this issue about doctor behavior. I hear about it all the time.
Okay.
You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour on Blog Talk Radio, live Mondays at 9 Eastern Time, and rebroadcast on naturalnewsradio.com. Please join us every week here, Monday evenings, or at Wednesday, naturalnewsradio.com.
Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one